May I speak in the name of God, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. I wonder how Peter and the other disciples felt when they awoke on that first Easter Sunday morning. Perhaps the sun was streaming around the edges of the wooden shutters, and for a moment when they first awoke, they felt alive and joyful before they remembered that Jesus was dead, before they remembered the sorrow of loss descending upon them. Maybe their minds flashed back in that instant to the bright night in Jerusalem just a few days before, when a full moon shone in the sky as Passover was about to begin. In a garden outside the city, there had been a scuffle and Jesus was arrested. In the confusion, some of the disciples tried to resist the headstrong ones, but Jesus didn't resist and was taken without difficulty. In a courtyard outside the praetorium, there'd been a group of slaves, all skilled carpenters who were making crosses. They thought that their skills were wasted on these crude Roman torches, but they didn't really care who they were for. The correct procedures were followed, and the correct people were advised and consulted. It was the day of preparation, and the mob had found a victim. The carpenters were unaware that the victim was one of their own, a carpenter like them. Only later, when they heard what had happened, did they think how ironic it was that a carpenter should be killed on a cross of wood. If the story had stopped there, of course, Jesus would have been simply the victim of the hatred of others and of the violence of political necessity, the same kind of hatred and violence which is still killing the innocent and the righteous around the world, in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Egypt, sometimes even here. But on that Sunday morning, the light which crept around the shutters when the despairing disciples had slept was a new light. The bright resurrection light of Easter had dawned, and Mary Magdalene came banging on the door of the rooms where Peter was staying, and she called for him to come, and he ran with John and found that the tomb was empty. And then later, when they sat around in animated discussion, trying to understand what might have happened, Mary was back again, and this time she said that she'd seen Jesus alive. Today, as we celebrate our Easter once again, we know that Jesus was not a powerless victim. Today we can look on, not from the perspective of the frightened disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, but with joy and with wonder, with the disciples on Easter morning, with Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Jesus' own mother, with Peter and the disciple who Jesus loved, and all those who'd seen their Lord taken away and executed, but on this day saw him alive again. Today we celebrate the risen life of Jesus, not Jesus the victim, but Jesus victorious over death. When Jesus had seen Judas approaching him in the garden, he knew what was to happen, and he didn't look for an escape route. The urge to protect ourselves is an important part of our human nature, but Jesus didn't look for a way out. He waited for Judas to come to him with the kiss of death. Perhaps in his prayers that night he had looked back over the last 3 years spent with his disciples at the events which had led him to this point, making a stand against injustice, speaking out, healing the sick, teaching the true meaning of faith, and as the vested interests of the religious leaders were shaken, recognizing more and more where this vocation was to lead him. It was not Judas who handed him over that night. It was Jesus himself. Through all the smaller decisions that he had taken along the way, decisions to love, decisions to heal, decisions to speak out, to teach the truth, to go to the outcasts, to sit with the lonely and with the broken, to take the way of selfless love. Looking back, he recognized that it was God who had led him to this Gethsemane. Instead of turning away, Jesus deliberately identified him with the misery and the pain which has been the lot of the greater part of humanity since the world began, so that he could be present wherever there is injustice, wherever there is pain, wherever there is death, and transform it. God is present in the wrecked churches of Egypt and the devastated towns of Syria, among the starving of East Africa, or the refugees in camps in Eastern Europe, on Westminster Bridge too, and even in our own lives when things are going badly or very badly. This is the mystery at the heart of the Christian faith, that wherever we are and whatever sort of state we might be in, God is there too. And no other faith looks on suffering in quite the same way. No other faith sees God at work in the darkest depths of human experience. And no other faith has as its central symbol a human being crying out in the darkness of abandonment, a place where we can also go. On the cross, Jesus triumphed, and the cross turns defeat into victory for each one of us. Even in our places of despair, Christ is there, redeeming, resurrecting. The cross is the victory of God's transforming love, and the resurrection of Jesus is the fulfillment of that victory and the proof of its power to transform us, to transform our relationships, our communities, and also our world. The carpenter was killed on a cross of wood, and death itself was destroyed by the death of Christ. God entered the depths of our despair and agony to emerge victorious over death and to raise us all. Out of that despairing group of disciples mourning the death of the one they thought had come to redeem Israel, emerged a powerful group of women and men who were convinced that God had come to his people and was to forever dwell with them. Every day, many, many more joined them and came to worship together. They met to praise God, and they shared their possessions with the poor. Through their experience of the resurrection, they could see that the power of God was with them to redeem and transform every human situation, even the most desperate. They responded with faith. Some became leaders and shared their faith with others near and far. Some went and healed the sick, others cared for the poor, and some gave sacrificially to see the lives of other people transformed. Nothing remained unchanged by what had happened. Within the church today, the same miracle of transformation still goes on, wherever the resurrection is proclaimed and experienced among God's people. Easter is here, and we can sing our joyful hymns once again. The resurrection is a cause of great joy, but it's far more than happiness and confectionery. Its effect on our lives should be profound and far-reaching. The risen Christ leads us on a journey of faith, and we must each this morning and each day respond. We can count on God's love, on the resurrection, on the presence of Christ, and on his Spirit at work in us. But what will be our response to that love? How will our lives be different now and from now on? Will this be the beginning of a new and deeper vocation of love and service for each of us? May the risen Christ in our midst give us grace to share in his resurrection life, in joy and in praise, in the surrender of our hearts and our lives, in response to his immense and eternal love. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.